So we've been giving thanks for the people who've been willing to come on our show. And one of the guests we're most thankful for this past year was David Wise, the gold medal winning Olympic freestyle skier. And not only because he flew across the country to join us on stage at Tanglewood in Western Massachusetts.
It was also because he let us try on his medals backstage. Peter, ask him how he got them.
Now, I want to start by asking about your gold medal in Pyeongchang. Now, you get to make free runs in competition, and I don't know the technical term, but in the first two runs, you kind of blew it, right?
Yeah. Well, technically, my ski blew it.
Yeah. Do your ski actually like pop it, off?
Yeah. Both of my first two runs, ski popped off.
Oh. How did that feel? What was that like?
Yeah, it was a mix of some of the most intense competition pressure I've ever felt in my life, and also kind of comical. Because here I am, my job, the one thing that I'm not supposed to do is blow it at the Olympics, right? You put 4 years of effort into this, thousands of hours of training, and as long as you just don't blow it at the Olympics, everything's going to be fine. And I was just like, wow, maybe this is the day I blow it at the Olympics. And that actually helped me, like thinking about it from that perspective, kind of helped me lighten the pressure on my shoulders a little bit and just be like, hey, look, first of all, for my third run, we cranked the bindings down as tight as they go. So my legs were going to come off before the skis did. So I was like, all right, I got one more shot at this. I'm gonna let it rip. Yeah. And fortunately, the skis stayed on. I made it to the bottom. And
as it were, it was an almost perfect run, and you actually walked away with it.
Did you ever think after the first time they came off, like, I'm not an expert skier, but I'd be like, let's make those tighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
The inside intel for that is it was three different runs and on three different pairs of skis. So a lot of people ask me, why didn't you just change skis? And I'm like, guys, give me a little more credit than that. Like, yeah, the binding came off on the first one. I didn't just put those skis back on my feet and try again.
Yeah.
Oh, well, shoot.
Hey.
I don't know why that came off.
Let's just try it again.
No, I was prepared.
One of the things that I thought watching both you guys in the skiing and the snowboarding, you're flying up in the air. Is there a moment where you just have to get over how scary that is early on? Or is that like when you find out who's going to go on and who's not when they're like...
That's kind of the difference between people who are pretty good at skiing halfpipe and people who are really good at skiing halfpipe. And I'm going to downgrade myself in everybody's eyes. It's mostly the stupid people who do really well in halfpipe because you just... You just let it rip.
Right.
You're like, oh, well, that was really scary, but I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
This is extremely dangerous, but I'm having so much fun.
Is it as dangerous? I mean, it looks easy. Of course, you make it look easy. That's your job. It also looks dangerous. Is it dangerous?
No, yeah. I mean, I joke about it, but it's pretty calculated. Yes, it's dangerous. Yes, I'm taking a risk. But aren't all good things in life worth a little bit of risk? You know, like... So...
Why is it called... A half pipe. Seriously, why is it called half pipe?
You don't know?
Do you want to think about that a little longer?
No, is it because the whole...
It sounds like
if you put two of them together, it might be a whole pipe.
It's like a giant pipe. I always thought that the half pipe referred to what you're on, what you're attached to. The pipe refers to the whole thing. So a whole pipe would be insane.
Yeah. You could do cool tricks, but we wouldn't be able to see them because they would be inside a pipe.
Yeah. So if you, when you do freestyle, it's like, hey, I'm just going to improvise.
Freestyle.
Or do you always know what you're going to do before you do a run?
We're pretty aware of what we're going to do ahead of time.
So it's more like a little contained.
Yeah.
Alonzo, why don't you just go for it and ask him if he does it on snow? We're at that level.
No, I'm just kidding. I think I know. Are you doing the thing?
This is really falling apart.
Are you doing the thing where they said like they like... He buttered that biscuit. Like, I remember it was
for you. I so want you, Mo, to work as a ski commentator at the next Olympics.
David, when they told you you were coming to NPR, you didn't think it would go this way.
No,
I did not know it was going to go this way. No.
Well, we have surprised you, but we have more surprises in store because, David Wise, we've invited you here to play a game we're calling...
Bland is the New Black.
So... As we have established, you're a champion freestyle skier, but what do you know about being free of style? We're going to ask you three questions about normcore. That is the brief fashion trend of just a few years ago when the hip thing to do was to be as boring as possible. Answer two questions about normcore. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners, the voice of anyone they like in their voicemail. Bill, who is David Wise playing for?
Jack Ewis of Williamstown, Massachusetts.
Not far from here. You might be here. Does this ring any bells? Normcore? You ever come across this?
I have. This is.
Yeah, this was a thing. Happened around 2014.
All right.
Here we go. Like all great fashion trends, normcore has a kind of stylistic god, somebody whose dress exemplifies everything it is meant to express to be a norm person. Which of these is normcore's icon? A. Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia. B. Jerry Seinfeld. Or C. Anyone working at any Best Buy.
Ooh. I think it's definitely C.
Best Buy? Like Best one Buy. Of those guys, Geek Squad Best Buy guys?
Yeah.
No, it was actually Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld was held forth as like, this is normcore. This is normal. Okay, David, here's your next question. In the midst of the trend, Car and Driver magazine listed their five most normcore cars. What were they? A, nothing, normcore people take buses. B, the five cars were a PT Cruiser, a Dodge Neon, a Honda Civic, a Chevy Impala, and literally your father's Oldsmobile. Or C, five Toyota Camrys.
I'm going to have to go with B.
You're going to go with B. A PT Cruiser, Dodge Neon, Honda Civic, and literally your father's Oldsmobile.
Oh gosh.
Wrong audience.
They don't like it.
Sorry.
No, they don't like that one.
I was thinking it was B, but what do I know?
They want you to pick C. What do you say?
I say that's probably very accurate.
They're exactly right. It was five Toyota Camrys. Five different Camry models. If you want normal, you can't do better than a Camry. So here we go. This is coming down to the third try, just like you're used to. So some fashion people described an offshoot of normcore for mature women who had earned the freedom to ignore the dictates of fashion. What was that fashion trend called? A, normcore. B, sagwear. Or C, menacore, style for post-menopausal women.
Oof. I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A?
I'm going to go with a strong A. Oh, no.
It was C.
Oh, my God.
Jack, I've really let you down.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe
Metacore,
it.
Menacore, the implication is once you hit menopause, you no longer have to care about, you know, appealing to other people.
Oh. This is so wrong.
Yes.
I think they might start throwing.
I did not make this up, ladies and gentlemen. I am bringing
He's
you the news.
Just a messenger, folks.
Bill, how did David Wise do in our quiz?
Well, David, you got a bronze, but but know this, God is still pleased.
I think so. David Wise is a two-time Olympic gold medal winner. His new children's book, Very Bear and the Butterfly, is available now. And you can see David with his family doing some remarkable things and saying some wise things at MrDavidWise.com. David Wise, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Don't Tell Me. David Wise, everybody.